It is good to be here. This thing is loud, so if I get loud, I'll back up a little bit. I'll try to. We've always enjoyed being here at this church. Been coming here during Bible conferences and what have you for many, many years now. And we have always thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a blessing. We love you folks. We pray for you. We think of you very, very often. And we know that you look to the Lord and pray for us as we try to continue in the faith. That faith that was once delivered unto the saints. If you would, open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm sorry. That's another message. 44. And pray for us this morning. Do pray for our services tomorrow. As I have already mentioned to you this morning, we'll have our morning service, and then after lunch, then we'll go in and have the ordination service. And pray for us, and pray for our son. He is our son, Brother Jerry. He is not being ordained as a deacon in the Northside Baptist Church because he's our son. We've got other sons there. But pray for him, pray for his family, and it's a responsibility, as has already been mentioned, to be a deacon. It's a responsibility to be a pastor. A lot of people have the idea that a pastor only works about 3 hours a week. That's all he works. That's a long 3 hours for me, but I enjoy it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. We'll read 7 verses. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall overflow thee, shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia, and Sabah for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have created him, yea. I have made him what he is, created him in the way that he now is. You know, I'm afraid far too many Christians, and not everybody, but I see very many Christians, they seem to lack the joy of their salvation. I don't know if you've noticed that. Shouldn't be anybody more happier than a child of God. I know we live in a world where there's so much sin and ungodliness, and don't worry, I'm not going to get into politics. Worst thing in the world we could do. Pray for this country. And thank God for his people who do pray for this country. It'd be a whole lot worse today if it were not. Now, I really do believe this for the praying people. God hears and he answers prayers, and we're grateful to him for that. But don't be so concerned about the government. Don't be so concerned about MSNBC, Fox News, and all those other things. As I've told the church there at Oakdale more than once, I've just had to get away from the news. Worst thing a person can do is carry it to the pulpit about what all is going on. But we're living in a terrible time. Every child of God ought to be shouting hallelujah and praises to God for the very fact that you're saved by God's grace. We're not always going to be here. We're going to leave this world. And there's a lot of people worried about death. Death does not worry me. I don't care for the process now of it. And nobody in their right mind would. But death itself, that is being placed in the very presence of God Almighty. That is being there and right there. You know, to be spiritual, you really don't have to wear a sad expression. You see some people, and they're saved, and I see very many of them seem to have a sad expression. Never equate frowns for spirituality. Don't do that. We ought to smile. I know there's times that we're sad. There's times that we have broken hearts, and we're troubled. And we're troubled over some things perhaps in our own life, in our family life, and friends, situation of a church, or whatever it might be. But even through all of that, praise God. Thank Him that you're saved. Thank Him that you're on the road to heaven. It's not always going to be the way it is. Because one day we're all going to be with the Lord. Don't ever allow life's troubles and hard times to hinder the joy that we're supposed to have, each and every one that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do that. I don't know, it seems that some have a tendency to forget just exactly what God has done for them. He's changed you. There was a time, if you're a Christian, there was a time you were not a Christian. There was a time that you were lost. There was a time you didn't care anything about the Lord at all. You might have had a certain fear of some things, especially being raised in a Christian family, which I was raised in a Christian family. You may have some fears and such as that, but as far as being affected anyway about spiritual things or unspiritual things or the way that you lived, it didn't really seem to bother you that much. You didn't have any reason to shout, and because you were not saved by God's grace, you didn't have any reason to go around and say, if I die today, I'm just fine. Because you wouldn't have been just fine. Anybody who is lost don't belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless that is changed by the power and the grace of the sovereign God, there's no way in the world that person is going to glory, so there's nothing to shout about. It's a very sad, sad situation. Now, there is I believe a wonderful, terrific application before us for the nation of Israel. Don't place this entirely on the nation of Israel. This book is written for God's people. There's lessons in here for us. Whenever God saves, then whenever he had chosen certain ones to be saved before the foundation of the world, it was not just the nation of Israel. It was people throughout the world. Amen. In every country throughout the world. He knew there would be a United States of America. And there's very many people in this country who have been saved in time. I don't know how. You can Google it and try to find out how many people are Christians, but you don't have to believe the number that they put up there at all. You can ask somebody if they're a Christian, and they might tell you they're a Christian, whether they're a Christian or not, but I don't go by that. My point is this. We can enjoy our salvation and enjoy the fact that God has placed you where you are. There are people who are members of churches where they are not being taught. They're not being taught from God's book. They don't really know. They know about religious things. The flesh is always right there. The flesh. Beloved, it is what God has placed into the very heart and the soul of an individual that causes him to reach out and give him the praise, the glory, and the honor because of what God has accomplished in the life of an individual. Especially knowing what He has brought us from. Now, we can enjoy our salvation because we have, and I'm going to try to show you about three things. Basically, there might be more. We all have a past, each and every one of us. You have a past and I have a past. Nobody wants to brag about their past. I'd be the last one to want to brag about my past. I've done some things. I never was a hard criminal. I never was a thief. I didn't like that. You know, Halloween time, whenever that comes, people go and they'll play dirty tricks on somebody. If some of the boys that I was with went and turned the water on somebody's house, I'd go turn it off. Or being destructive anyway. It wasn't like that, but I was a lost sinner. And was I a sinner? I was a sinner, and I acted like a sinner. Didn't do everything I should do. There's some things I did that I don't even talk about around my grandchildren. Don't want to do that at all. We were all lost. So we have this, every person in the world, and I speak to you and whoever might listen through this right here, we have a past. We're not right now what we were then. That is, if you're saved by God's grace. If there has been a change in your life. I know most people would like to forget their past. And as I've said, nobody wants to brag about their past. Yet, the past, and then you want to forget about it. That past is what makes the present fantastic. Because of the tremendous change that God has made. Again, you're not what you were. We're not what we're going to be. We are what we are by the grace of God. I don't want to go back to the past. I want to press forward. But at the same time, we have a past. In our context, God reminds Israel in verse 1 and 2 what He has done for them. As we have read, "But thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." That's important. "When thou passest," verse 2, "through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Don't you notice three things that God has done for every believer in the past? He's done more than that, but I want to show you three things. If we had more time, I'd show you more.
Go ahead.
Don't want to take advantage of you. Each and every person who is saved by God's grace, one thing you have, one thing you have had, and that's redemption. If not, you're not saved.
Right.
If you haven't been redeemed. Why were you redeemed? Redeemed. Because you were not at that time the Lord. Well, that's another message. You were not in the fold. You didn't know about your salvation. You didn't know at all, but you were redeemed. Beloved, that is something. There in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, you were redeemed." You have a past. And that past, up until the time that you were saved by God's grace, that past really dominated your life. The Lord was still in control because He's a sovereign God. He wasn't going to allow anything to happen to a child of God who was purchased by the Lord Jesus there at Calvary until you were saved by God's grace. Wasn't a thing in the world going to happen to you. That is, you were not going to leave this world. You weren't going to leave this world. Even before we were born, Jesus Christ willingly suffered when He became man here. The Lord Jesus Christ assumed a perfect, listen to me, impeccable, sinless life while He was man.
Amen.
And He was just as much man as He was God, and just as much God as He was man. That He come here and He suffered and He died to save you. To save you by His grace. You say, "Well, I know all of that." Then if we know all of that, let us shout about it.
Amen.
Baptists ought to be the most shoutingest people in the world. Because we know truth, we hold to that truth. And I'll tell you what, it was not called Baptist, but I'll tell you what, all the doctrinal truths exist right there with the Church of Christ. Our Lord's Church, and right on down through the line. And it's always there. Whenever He saved us, He received us. How did He receive you? Just as you were. Lost, undone. You didn't change for the Lord to save you. You didn't all of a sudden become a good person. The Lord say, "All right, there's he and she. They're fit now. I'll go ahead and bring them in." It's the Lord that makes you fit. It's God Almighty that saves you. Things begin to change. You have desires that you did not have before, and then you do away with desires that you exercised before and that you lived by. God made a tremendous change out of it. He saved you just as you were. all of that past, through grace, you're no longer blamed for the sins that you lived in the past. They were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's something to have much joy and salvation for. That's one thing that the child of God needs to get back and think about so often, and that is this very fact right now. My sins are admitted. I am redeemed. We're not what we're going to be, but we are what we are. We don't live in the past. We live in the present. We can't go back and undo anything, but we can do what we should do for the glory of God, and we can live that life and never show any sadness in it as far as ownership of that salvation, because it belongs to you. Next, there is this. There is a renewal. A renewal. God called them by name, didn't he? What it says. That's an intimate knowledge. God has an intimate knowledge of each and every one that he has saved. That was an intimate knowledge. God has always known. And whenever the Lord Jesus came into this world and he lived that perfect life, died that substitutionary death for his people, he had a knowledge of who they were. He had a knowledge also of who they are now. He knew what they were going to be. He has a knowledge of your past. He has a knowledge of your very present right now. So what he did, he changed their name because he changed their character. Another name. You know, God did the same thing with us that he did with Israel. He did the same thing. God did with us. You know what we were before you were saved? You were the children of Satan. God calls us the children of the devil, children of wrath, sinners, lost, wicked. That's other names. You were that. Now, since you have been saved, since you have been redeemed, you are the redeemed. You're the children of God. You're the citizens of heaven. You're the saved. You're the saints. And there are other names. That's what we are. That's enough to realize and to draw that joy out from the very heart and the soul of an individual. Praise God is what we should do. And thank him for it. Don't dwell on who we were. Thank God for what we are now. And what he has made. And he's not finished with us yet. He's not finished. But thank him as he is changing and he is working in us, through us, all of this for his glory and for his honor. Not only so, but we have a reception. God tells Israel he has a possession. Possession. Belongs to him. Israel belongs to God, the nation of Israel. Here's the elections in the Bible. There's national election. God has chosen the nation of Israel to be his peculiar people. I know there's people that they despise the doctrine of election. You may not have that problem here, but almost everybody, Oakdale thinks that Larry Wilson is just, he's an idiot. Why in the world would anybody believe that God's just going to elect somebody? God would never do that. That they're all right that he elected the nation of Israel as his peculiar people. That's all right. There's vocational election. God chooses certain people to do certain things, you know. The Apostle Paul, missionary, pastor. Brother Joey, pastor. We're pastors. He gives people responsibilities. Vocational election. Something that you do. You engage in because God has given that to you. There's also soteriological election. Election unto salvation. Being saved by the grace of God Almighty. That is an election. What it is, God has received us. We've received the Lord. And I know there are some don't like that terminology. There is this. God received you, as I've already said, just as you are. For his own. We belong to God. He can do with us as he pleases. We're saved. We were accepted just the way he found us. There, John, the 6th chapter, verse 37. I won't be able to take time, I'd rather not, unless you want me to give you these scriptures where you can turn to them. But if you're taking notes, that'd be a good thing. That's what I try to encourage folks back home. All that the Father giveth me shall. It will take place. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast him out. Not going to cast him out at all. Our Lord has taken possession of our lives, and we belong to him. Isn't it wonderful to belong to somebody? It's wonderful to belong to somebody that loves you. As far as a husband, I belong to my wife, Pauline. Don't belong to anybody else. I belong to her, she belongs to me. God took care of all of that. Now, very pleased with it. God owns you. We're not our own at all. 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, verse 20 says, "For you're bought with a price." And oh, what a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your own body, and in your spirit, look at him, which are God's. Belongs to God. You want to know what you should do? Go ask your owner. Ask your master. How should you engage in a certain matter? He knows every detail about everything concerning your life. We use the brains of somebody else. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, "A man that doesn't use the brains of somebody else just proves he doesn't have any brains himself." We use brains. I read other books. We use ideas, but I'll tell you one thing: it's God Almighty that can give you all the knowledge that you need. And where in the world are you going to find it? One thing through prayer, it really does work. And right here in His Word, God's book. Nobody could ever be a student of the Bible if they don't study the Bible. There are people that claim to study the Bible whenever they're reading what everybody else has had to say about certain scriptures. I want to see what the scripture reveals itself. I want to see what the scripture says. Word study and such as that. You see, the Lord places you in this situation where He is. We should go to Him. Whenever we look back at what He has brought us from, where we have been, how we have lived, we should praise His holy name for the change that He has made. We're not perfect. And you know this. You probably hear it from this very pulpit. Lord, as I said, the Lord's not done with us. But we need to live our life as a child of God. Don't need to be living in sin. A dear preacher at a Bible conference so many years ago got up, he was preaching. He went overboard about we're sinners and we can't do this, can't do that, and shouldn't, and acted like there was absolutely just no hope because we're such sinners. And one brother didn't stand up, sitting right behind me and Pauline. And he said, "Why don't we try it? Why don't we do it now, though?" In other words, live for the Lord. You know, you're doing something that's not just the way it ought to be, then live for God. Do that. We have been received. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 51 and 1 says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit which you were digged." I'll tell you what, I was dug from pretty deep down. I was from the hard part of that rock. That's no brag. I know what the Lord has done. I know what God can do. I want you to notice with me, Saki, that we have a provider. You're saved, you have a provider. The 14th chapter of John. I'm in the wrong place there, I'm sorry. But we do have a provider. Right there. Verse 2. Now, what chapter? Isaiah 43. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." God reminds Israel that He has met their need. He reminds them that He will continue to meet their need. He hasn't just met one need, but He He will meet all the needs, and He'll give us the knowledge. He'll give you some way, somehow, the ability to go through whatever need it might be. Some might be a terrible need that you're just in such a situation you don't know which way to turn. Have joy in the fact that you have God that can lead you right through there. I've seen it. Times of death in families where some people who are not saved, I've actually seen people just go out of their mind. I've seen them. I remember one person just going with his fist hitting walls, screaming out and doing all sorts of things. You're hurt when you lose a loved one. You're hurt. You're going to shed tears. It hurts tremendously. But you belong to God. You belong to Him. See, God reminds Israel, He has met their need. He will continue to meet their need. Notice some of the circumstances where they should have known. And they should have remembered whenever God intervened and God provided, whatever the need might be. There they were leaving Egypt. There was that Red Sea. How in the world are they going to negotiate that? And there was the enemy right behind them. The enemy had one thing on their mind, kill them, get rid of them. They didn't really want Israel anymore. They was ready to go, all right, ready for them to go, but God just opened that up. You know how it is. Wonderful message. They went right on through. There should have been more shouting on that other side, and I don't know. Should have been. And then crossing Jordan. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember, whenever they wouldn't pay homage to that king at all. Just their God. Just their God. We're going to burn him. Well, then burn me. If you're going to burn me, burn me. And I know they didn't put it that way, but you know what I'm talking about. They put them inside that furnace. It affected the men, put them in there. Didn't hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego one bit. They didn't have a smell of anything. They should have known that. And so many other things. The cloud of the daytime, there was the fire at night. And so many times did God come to their need. God had not changed. What He did for Israel, He can do for us. He can do for us. He can move mountains in your life.
That's right.
And He has done it. Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 6, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. Why? For I am the Lord. That's the answer. God. He takes care of the whole situation. There are several reasons, beloved, why we can trust God to supply. Let me show you one reason. God's able. He's able to do it. You may be in such a situation that a friend, a loved one, that would do anything in the world to come in and help you, but they can't do it. They can't do it. But God can. And God has so very often. So very often. The Lord's great exploits. Oh my. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, He says, above all that we ask, even all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us. God's with you, and that power is working within you. That was the Israelites. Whenever they left the land of Egypt, they took out. Do you know they went all the time? They went all the way. Didn't even have to change clothes. I may change clothes a few times a day. They didn't have to change clothes. Wasn't any stores. Sure wasn't any Walmart then. They'd have been in pickles. The Lord hadn't took care of that, but He took care of every bit of it. He clothed them. And they remained just that way. Deuteronomy 25:29 and verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoes is not waxing, it's not old on your feet. Not at all. There they were, fed manna. Every day, they had food. I know they even complained, but they had food. Have you ever got back, and I got back and thought about it one time, I wonder how many boxcar loads of manna was that a day that was brought to them. Just imagine, it wasn't a little bit. That was a whole lot. Feeding the widow there, Zarephath and Elijah. Plenty in the barrel. You look down in there, it don't look like enough. It was some tomorrow, some the next day, on and on and on and on. God took care of them, every one of them. You can find that in 1 Kings 10th chapter, can't you? God is willing. That's the thing. He's willing to come in and help His people, to be with His people, to protect His people, to guard His people. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's His good pleasure. He delights in it. That's a wonderful God. That ought to give the saddest looking Baptist, that ought to just put a great big old smile on his face and him shout glory, hallelujah. God is more faithful. I really do believe this. I believe that God is more faithful to meet our need than very many of the Lord's people are to ask Him to meet the need. Because He's always present right there to take care of it and do it. In fact, He's ahead of us, isn't He? He always works ahead of us. Not only so, God is faithful to His Word. I know I'm telling you things that you already know, but we're trying to encourage you a little bit more as well. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us," all of us. Not only so, and we've heard this so often, but look, we need to be reminded all the time, God is ever near His people. When you're in a situation in life, God's right there. You know, whenever we assemble, I really do believe there's a presence of the Lord God right here. His presence of the Lord. Christ Himself said that He would walk amongst the candlestick. I believe that. So many, even the angels want to know what's going on concerning this blessed gospel. It wasn't for them, the angels that apostatized. There's no redemption for them. It's just the lost sons of Adam. Redeeming. There's that redemption. Look in Philippians, the 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. We will enjoy our salvation much, much more whenever we learn to trust the Lord more. Whenever we lean on Him more. Whenever we come to the point that we realize that we cannot make it through this day or another day without the Lord. Be careful, he says, Philippians 4 and 6, for nothing. But in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds, keep that through Jesus Christ, through our Lord. That was those disciples. The Lord had been telling them that He's going to die. He's going to die. He's not always going to be here. Disciples, they didn't understand the full of it. Before His crucifixion, He went to them. He could probably look and tell the countenance on their face. And He knew what was going through their minds. And He knew that it wasn't long. He was going to be placed there on that tree. They were going to crucify Him. He said in those first few verses, John 14th chapter, He said, He told those people that what the problem with them was this right here. They had too much doubt. They didn't understand so much that they should have understood altogether. But He told them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself." I believe it's prepared. It's ready. It's there. One day, our Lord Jesus will come in the clouds and He'll receive that which belongs to Him. He'll receive those which He purchased some 2,000 years ago. More than that now. There at Calvary. A day known only by the omniscient God. We don't know when that day is going to come, but that day is going to come. We may not make it back to Oakdale because the Lord won't need to go to Oakdale. Go to glory. I'd rather go to Glorydale than I had Oakdale, I'll tell you, at any time. Now, that's going to take place. Rapture would be wonderful, wouldn't it? The day is coming that all people, with the past, with the present, but the futuristic shape is going to be with the Lord. That day is coming that the Lord is going to come and going to receive you unto Himself. Now, in light of His coming, we are to do what? We're to be ready, be prepared, we're to be looking. You want more joy in your salvation than contemplate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is imminent, as though it could be immediately. How much time do we spend really looking for the Lord? We look for so many things in anticipating. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 37 says, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that He shall gird Himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them." What are we to do? Be pure. You're a Christian. Behave as a Christian. Walk like a Christian. Talk like a Christian. 1 John 3:3 tells us, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." It says, even as he is pure, he purifieth himself, though. You do it. We're witnesses. Brother Joe in the church, you know, y'all have this that you do, and that's witnessing. I remember I pastored a church many, many years ago. We'd go out and we'd give tracts, knock on doors. You could go to people's house then. The door was open. Somebody usually would answer it. That was a long time ago. You know, for the most part, the people that we got were not really the ones that we even give the tracts to, I believe. Promise of God. Does God see the effort that is put forth? He does. He does. Mark 16:15, He said unto them, "Go ye into the world." You do that whenever you pay mission, whenever you help support missionaries. Preach the gospel to every creature. That should be something that a child of God wants to do. Not only so, all things will be for His glory. Don't brag about what you do once a month on Saturday. Be grateful for it. Thank the Lord for it. Pray. Ask Him, what else can we do? It's God. It's God. Verse 7 of our chapter. Acts 43. "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God's purpose in creating and redeeming man is for His glory. For His glory. We should want to please our Savior. We should want to please the one who cares more about us and for us than any person on the earth. Children, your parents love you. When you belong to Him, God loves you more than they do. He does. Wife loves her husband. Husband loves the wife. God loves you more. Those who belong to Him. You know where you're headed? We've got all kind of plans, don't we? You're glory bound. If you belong to the Lord, you're going to go to glory. That's going to be the place. So what are we to do? We're to faithfully walk in that direction. There's many directions, there's so many avenues, but there's one direction to glory, and that's through the Lord and His will and His purpose. Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, "Therefore, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." All of it. You're familiar with 1 Corinthians 15:10. "By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." He took all the glory and the credit. All of it. Every bit of it. Lord willing, next time I come, we're going to talk about the present, then we're going to talk about the future. You know, think back whenever you, and I'm about done. Think back whenever you were lost. You didn't know the Lord. Consider the scriptures that we have given to you, some of the things that we have said right here. Think back on that. God saved us from the past, placed us in the present. We're to live for Him, for His glory and honor here in the present. And then anticipate that future. Anticipate that in giving the Lord the glory for it and just wanting to shout. Wanting to have and to show and to express that very joy that you have. You have joy for your own salvation. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all the our children and grandchildren were saved and all of them had that? Looking forward to it. Know your past. Somebody says, well, forget your past. Remember. Remember what God's brought you from, though. Don't forget that. And thank Him for it. See who you are today. And praise God for it. Consider your future. And do so more often. The Lord has graciously given you salvation. As I've already said, we belong to Him. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And I'm going to tell you, that price is the impeccable blood that was shed there at Calvary by our Lord Jesus Christ. Every single bit of His blood was utilized. Nothing was wasted. It was shed, not spilled. None. If it's hard to really enjoy that salvation that God has given you, then do this. Just take time to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's yours. It belongs to you. God gave it to you. You're not really excited about the Lord. Work it out. Nobody else can work it out for you. Your pastor can love you. You can love your pastor and anybody else in the church. Mom, Dad can. You need to work it out. It belongs to you. God gave it to you. I plant a garden. I don't have to worry about anybody coming over there and helping me in that garden. It's mine. I planted it and did it. I'm not leaving the Lord out of it. I'm just saying I planted it and the whole thing. He has given Brother Adam. He's given Brother Gary, Brother Joy, Shane. All you fellows, He's given you your salvation belongs to you. Brother Joy doesn't belong to anybody else in this building. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you'll realize that it is your salvation, and give God all the praise, the glory, and the honor. And if you can't rejoice in your salvation, again, perhaps it's time to work it out. God bless you. Pastor.
Very good.
God bless you.
Well, thank you. Well, you mentioned it, so we'll go ahead and talk about it, inviting you back to hear the second half of that message. You'll get a letter probably or a phone call not too long from now. So thank you very much, brother, for that message. Lots to consider. My goodness. He didn't know. I didn't tell him. We're going through the seven churches in Asia. Tomorrow we'll be looking at Ephesus. They lost their first love. So you all just heard a real good introduction to the church of Ephesus there. That's so good. Remember from where you're fallen. That is so needful. Thank you, brother. God honoring message, challenging message for sure. So, brother, thank you again, and thank you all for coming with him. I know it's a lot of time. It was early for you all to start out this morning for sure. So thank you for that. We ask the Lord's blessings upon you, Brother Jared, upon the work there that you're being called unto. Brother Gary, if you would please come lead us in song at this time.